that being said, we'll move on to the next topic, which is Haiti. Now, we talked about Haiti when the bottom fell out, seemingly, on Haitian society. And you had all these stories about the gangs running rampant. We talked about how the gangs had essentially done the greatest jailbreak of all time. They went and opened up the two largest prisons in the country, freeing many gang members and former gang leaders to then rejoin the ranks of the very gangs that just bailed them out of jail. And now the gangs are running the country. It's been wild. We found out the Dominican Republic has very rapidly erected a wall between themselves and Haiti to keep that mess in Haiti. We heard a lot of chaos. We heard a lot of crazy stories about, the cannibals, they're eating human flesh. Jimmy Barbecue, he's the most notorious gang leader there, and he's now in control of the country. We heard a lot. I was skeptical about the cannibalism thing, because, you know, it seems every bit as outlandish as, you know, the burnt babies hoax that came out of October the 7th, which was then exposed to be untrue. So it could have been true, could have not been true. We'll find out in time. I'll just say that much. I'm not going to speak as to whether or not there is or isn't cannibalism in Haiti, because there are as many accounts that there are as there is that there aren't. And quite frankly, it could be it could be true either way. But it's one of those things where the nature of violence that you can get out of a gang is savagery, right? Gangs are typically savage, especially in poorer parts of the world, where that kind of savagery is sort of accepted as an accepted norm among the criminal underworld. Try not to make it sound like, you're from this country, so automatically you're a savage. No, it's just, when you go to a lot of poorer countries, the criminals in those poorer countries will be much more inclined to engage in barbarity. And it is what it is, and it just makes life in those countries worse than it otherwise would be. So the idea that some of these gang members could be cannibal, that could still be true. That could still be true. But in the case of Jimmy Barbecue, I'm not entirely certain that it is. Jimmy Carusier, otherwise known as Barbecue, he did not get his nickname Barbecue from eating human flesh. He got it because his parents ran a meat stand, and they'd sell meat, and he'd be there running the stand with them, and so he got the nickname Barbecue. Jimmy Barbecue. So this is just a nice innocent little story about this guy who's now a notorious gang leader who has taken control of the country. You know, rags to riches. So that's how he got his name. And what appears to be happening, and I was watching some Redacted, so there's another source drop, the Redacted podcast with Clayton Morris. I was watching some Redacted, and they were going over some of the facts that they were getting from someone else. And what appears to be happening and this is sort of where I was introduced to this different perspective on what's happening in Haiti. So because we're inundated with the first narrative, I say, well, let's dive into the other narratives and see what lines up as being true and what doesn't. Because there's going to be things that are true from both angles, and you take the one that's more true than the other. And if necessary, you form your own beliefs. So from this angle, Jimmy Carusier has built an alliance of gang, and it's not so much an angle, this part is just what he's done. He's taken the gang that he ran, and he's formed an alliance between that gang and a number of other gangs. And these are the gangs that are currently sort of occupying 80% of the capital, which is Port-au-Prince. 80% of Port-au-Prince is occupied by this gang coalition led by Jimmy Carusier, which is how I will refer to him as his government name. So that's one thing that sort of sets this apart and partially explains to me the level of coordination that we've seen. Like, because I talked about it when we discussed the prison break and the fact that they overran 80% of the capital and so fast and damn near overran the country. That doesn't happen without mass levels of coordination. Now, my gut instinct was to look at the CIA, and it could be very well the CIA does have a hand in this. Whether or not this is panning out the way that they want it to, I'm not entirely sure, but I wouldn't put it past the CIA being involved in this. They love doing these types of things. But that aside, Jimmy Carusier has built a coalition and alliance of gangs, and looking at it that way explains, and I'm trying to piece my words together and piece my thoughts together, looking at it that way, as he is a man who has pieced together a coalition of gangs, seeing it from that perspective makes the prison break and this organized assault that the gangs have done on the previous existing government of Haiti, it makes that make a lot more sense if they were a unit, right? Or at least tacitly working together with some kind of organization and some kind of top-down management structure. That would make a lot more sense than the gangs woke up one day and they decided they wanted a prison break. And then they also decided they wanted to eat human flesh. You know? That makes a lot more sense than the other narrative. The idea that these gangs are working together and that one man, a strong man, has stitched these gangs together to form a kilt of gangs. That is his alliance, and they've taken 80% of the capital. That makes more sense to me. That makes more sense to me. So then we dig a little deeper. And the perspective provided from that the video I saw in Redacted views this crisis as not an upsurge of crime, right? Not this upsurge of, oh, the criminals have overwhelmed the police and now it's a lawless anarchist state, which granted it is in most parts of the country, let's just keep it a buck, but at least in the case of the capital city, it is still true to a decent degree, but it doesn't quite capture perhaps the whole story. Because viewing it from the other way, where Carusier is a leader of an alliance and he is trying to replace the old government, that's a revolution. Jimmy Carusier is leading a revolution, and he's using the gangs as his foot soldiers and as his revolutionaries. They have already ousted the old government. Now, we talked a little bit about how the gangs before would be used by various political factions and political actors in the old government in Haiti for various political means, political assassinations, political intimidations, what have you, bribery schemes. But now that the gangs have been brought together by this strongman and they have ousted the old government, that's a revolution. And that makes the gangs the revolutionaries, and that makes Jimmy Carusier a revolutionary national leader. Which is a very different light to view the crisis in Haiti from. It's still a crisis, but it's a crisis of a different nature, if this holds to be true. And viewing this crisis as a revolution, and seeing that the president of the country has abdicated, and just about the rest of the government has abdicated, and that these people control 80% of the capital, that's a damn near successful revolution, conducted using gangs rather than, say, a military, or, say, by civilians rising. Well, actually, they're criminal. They might be criminals, but they are civilians. And so it is quite literally a revolution, no matter how you look at it. So in a very strange twist of events, these gangs, at least the ones led under Cursier, they might be, again, in a very strange twist of events, they might be part of the solution. And that's just, again, a really weird lens to look at it through, that the gang members who overthrew the government could be part of the solution. Now, whether or not they are depends on their actions, because especially now that they are the government, they've overthrown the old guys, so they are the government now. Whether or not they are the solution or a cure that's worse than the disease depends entirely on their actions, which we now observe every day that goes by. And yeah, they could do something here. They could. I mean, they certainly have control. It's just a matter of consolidating it now. And looking at it through that light, as a revolution overthrowing a government, I am now much more opposed to the idea of a UN intervention, even one that would be led by Nayib Bukele of El Salvador. I talked in our first, when we first talked about the crisis in Haiti, I talked about how if there was going to be a UN intervention there at all, because I don't like the idea of UN interventions, especially into our hemisphere, if there's going to be one at all, it ought to be led by Nayib Bukele, and if the gangs are the problem, he's definitely the guy to solve it. But if Cursier is leading a revolution against a corrupt government that no longer represents the people, at least from the perspective, from a Haitian perspective, because it's not up for us to decide that, because we don't live there. This isn't our country. But if he is actually leading some sort of revolution, well, I say if, as if he hasn't. I keep saying if as if he hasn't already overthrown the government with said revolution. But if he is a revolutionary leader who is trying to build a new government that he believes works for the people of Haiti, well, that makes a UN intervention an even worse proposal than it was before. Because now what you're looking at is foreign powers trying to impose a government onto the Haitians. And you can just see how that would be, it's even more inappropriate than it was before. Foreign governments, foreign nations trying to impose a government onto a people who no longer view said government as legitimate. Hence, these gangs even opting to work together in the first place, especially with such high degrees of organization and cooperation and coordination to begin with. Like, you don't just walk into a prison and, oh, we freed all the prisoners, we got our buddies back. It's not that simple. That's a very coordinated effort. And the fact that they did it not once but twice in the two largest prisons in the country, the fact they took over 80% of the capital, the fact they've taken over so many of the airports and seaports of the country, suggests a much broader and much larger contingent of... It suggests a far greater degree of cooperation and coordination than anyone perceived at the beginning of this crisis. And far greater than I suspected. Like, I suspected some coordination, but looking at everything they've managed to achieve, I said, okay, well, is it them? I don't think so. And shit, that level of coordination and targeting infrastructure like that, I'm like, okay, well, CIA. If I'm going to bet money on anybody, it's going to be the CIA. They love this. This is their cup of tea. But if it's not the CIA, or if this is a CIA project that has, like many other projects, gotten out of their control, and this is the gangs now in control, well, that that would suggest, again, a high degree of coordination and cooperation between gangs. And that's huge in and of itself, because these gangs spent years killing each other in turf wars. You don't go from killing each other in turf wars, especially the kind of blood feuds that you get between gangs. You don't just paper over that overnight and then just say, you know what, we have a common enemy, we're going to work together. It doesn't go that way. It doesn't go that way. The blood is too bad for that in most cases. But somehow, some way, Jimmy Carusier has managed to rally these people behind his cause. He's managed to rally these people behind a common cause and got them to start shooting at the government and shooting at each other less. I don't know if they've stopped shooting at each other entirely. You can't say that. But they've certainly stopped shooting at each other as much as they were before for the purpose of their lines. And that's a very different dynamic. And viewing it in that light, a UN intervention into Haiti is inappropriate. Leave them be. Let the Haitians work out what government Haiti is going to have. We don't have to agree with the process. It's not our country. It's not our country. Just like no one has to agree with the process for how we elect our president, or for how we vote in members of Congress. You don't have to agree with how we do that. This is our country. And the same holds true for how other countries put their leaders into power. It's not up to us to decide how they do that. The same applies for Haiti. This is a revolution. Now, will the gangs be a part of the solution? Or will they be the cure that was worse than the disease? Again, it comes down to their actions, and it comes down to their results. Because that's also important, their results. But Carusier has something going for him. If he's managed to unify all these gangs behind a common cause, he's definitely got something going for him. And if they do prove to be a better alternative than the preceding government, which again is going to take a lot of convincing. It's going to take a lot of convincing to get to that one. But if they do prove to be better, they still would have to consolidate control over all of Haiti, not just, say, the capital city and a handful of ports and entries into the country. Because there are a lot of other gangs who have been running wild in the country and who have been committing just random violent atrocities and who have just been letting loose on the civilian populace of Haiti. That has to be gotten under control if you are to establish, again, your legitimacy. Because you can be an illegitimate government, but you can build legitimacy through your actions and through the way the people you govern perceive you. Jimmy Carusier's revolution can become the new government of Haiti and become the new internationally recognized government of Haiti as well. It's a matter of building legitimacy. One of the first ways you build legitimacy is you consolidate power and control. They're still trying to consolidate control over the capital city. And when, in the event that that is achieved, which I think it's very likely that it will be, they'll then begin to spread out from there, taking control of the roads, taking control of the railroads, they already taken control of a lot of ports, they'll take control of the airports, they'll probably try to get international flights going again. They have control of a couple of seaports. They have the control of the largest seaport in the country. You get some commerce flowing back into the country. And these are ways you can also build legitimacy. Trade and commerce. And enabling people to make money and make a living. Because at the end of the day, people are going to go with the guy that they can live a good life under. No matter how bad that guy as a person might be. So they can build legitimacy through various means. It's a matter of will they. Because again, you have to consolidate control over the capital, then you have to consolidate control over the country. And there are a lot of gangs running rampant and just running roughshod over the regular people of Haiti that Jimmy Carusier's alliance of gangs would then have to clamp down on. And that's assuming that they stay in power, because you never know what happens in a revolution, it's not always the guy who starts the revolution that makes it out on the other side. Sometimes the revolutionaries get eaten up and consumed by their own revolution. And you get bigger, badder, strong men on the other side. In many, many cases. Look at Robespierre of the French Revolution. And then, bada bing, bada boom, Napoleon. Look at it. Look at the Bolsheviks in Russia. And how many of them died by the end. Only to have Stalin come out on top. Right? Look at Mao. Mao wasn't the leader of the communists at first in China. He rose to prominence. When you have these revolutions, it's very easy for certain... When the gloves come off, it's very easy for upsets to happen. When you've overthrown the government, and legitimacy for a government is no longer a given, it's very easy for the new guys to have their legitimacy undermined by some other group of revolutionaries. Because there's never just one group of revolutionaries. There's always multiples. There's always different factions and people with their own interests. And oftentimes in the modern era, especially when you're looking at a lot of the revolutions in, say, Europe, for a comparison, one revolutionary will get off the ground and then all of the other revolutionaries pop up. Case in point, communism was big in Italy and Germany before, and they were crushed by the other revolutionaries, the fascists and the National Socialists. The Bolsheviks weren't the only communists in town in Russia. There were a lot of other, like the Mensheviks and various other communes. They were all crushed by the Bolsheviks. This is how revolutions go. They're very messy. So it's not even a guarantee that Jimmy Carousier is going to be the guy to come out of this on the other side. But that being said, Haiti is in a revolution. And I think that that's the biggest solid takeaway we can get out of this situation. Haiti is in a revolution. The people who've led that revolution were definitely a motley crew. But they're led by a guy who has somehow managed to put them on the same side. And, you know, looking at it from that perspective, suddenly all the propaganda we got, suddenly all the propaganda we got starts to make sense. Now, of course, we don't know many certainties about what's going on in Haiti, and I'm simply presenting an alternative view of the events that I think in some ways pieces together the gaps in our knowledge for what's happening in Haiti. And the idea of this guy, Jimmy Carousier, leading a revolution against the old corrupt government, that makes the framing of this from the propaganda press make a lot more sense. Because these people who came out and said that the gangs are the worst people on the planet, and you know, maybe they might be. But when you look at the people who are saying that, these are the same people who have no problem with rampant gang violence and gang activity in the United States. So for them to suddenly shift gears and go all in on hating gangs and criminality and violence in Haiti, well, it's like, well, hold on a second. There's a very glaring inconsistency here. So where's the cause of this inconsistency? Why are you making them out to be a villain? Granted, in any normal case, you should. But what's the cause for that discrepancy? And perhaps the idea, is it that they suddenly decided to be good journalists? I doubt it. So that one's out the door. Or is it Jimmy Carousier is leading a national revolution against an old corrupt government that used to be in the pocket of the United States, of the U.S. Empire? Now that could potentially make sense. And I'm just speculating here because we really don't know a whole lot about what Jimmy Carousier's end game is and what his ambitions are for the country mid and long term. We just know he led a revolution and he overthrew the government. But viewing it from that lens, it makes the news coverage and the bombardment of all these horrifying horror shows and horror stories that we got suddenly makes that make sense. They're vilifying him. Similar to how they do with many other national leaders, national populist leaders. And again, we have to watch his actions, but I think it would make sense. Because when you have these national leaders who rise up and who find ways of unifying a country that was divided artificially by, you know, the imperialists in Washington, they love divide and conquer. They use it on us, the American people, all the time. But when you have these national leaders who rise up on platforms designed to unify their country and bridge divides, even if only mildly successful at first, they're vilified. They're vilified. Especially when these leaders aspire for better futures for their nations and put policy behind that. Futures for their nations that lie outside of the box that the imperialists in Washington, D.C. have sort of set aside for these countries. Like, oh, you want to have a good standard of living, a good education system? You want to have health care and sovereignty and energy independence? You want to be in control of your own national resources? Of your own natural resources? Coup. Overthrown. Goodbye. You know? That's how we try to get rid of these people. We try to discredit them, we try to oust them, we try to overthrow them in governments, we'll cheat in elections to try to force them out. They would have loved to get away with that with Russia. They tried to get away with that with Lukashenko in Belarus back in 2020. And they succeeded in doing it with Trump in 2020 as well. They try to get rid of these people when these leaders offer up a bridge for the divide that Washington created, that the three-letter agencies created in all these other countries. When these leaders start painting pictures of a real viable future for their country and for their people that just don't fit with the idea that Washington has for them, where you're this country, these are the things that you get to do and these are the things you don't get to do. Arabia, oh, you get to be an oil exporter, that's all you get to be. Oh, China, you get to be cheap labor, and that's all you get to be. Russia, you're a gas station as a country, that's all you get to be. And it's an incredible load of arrogance. It's an incredible load of arrogance, but that's how these people sort of try to operate. That's how they try to keep other countries down. It's, here's your box, here's the room that you get to navigate in. If you step outside of your box, we're going to try to crush you. And you can see this with the opposition that the United States has to the multipolar world. It's not that it's bad for America. It's that it's bad for the control that Washington, D.C. has for all these countries, because they can't control everybody if everybody is pursuing their own national interest. They can't control everybody if everybody is working together to create viable futures for their countries and thus viable alternatives to what the U.S. empire is trying to sell them on. You don't need nuclear or oil. No, poor African country who would like to industrialize. No, you don't need cheap energy. What you really want are some ultra expensive, hard to come by solar panels. That's what you want. And it's like, no, we want coal, oil, and natural gas. We want nuclear. We want infrastructure. No. You don't understand. You're the cheap labor, all right? You extract minerals and resources from the ground, and we, the advanced societies, use those materials. And you get nothing. You know, extreme arrogance and just in no way, shape, or form incentivizing anyone to go along with the system that they create. But that's how they operate. That's how they operate. And you can see that every time one of these leaders steps outside of their box, they're just slandered immediately as though they were Hitler, Satan, Darth Vader, and Megatron. But I'll digress. The view of Jimmy Carusier as one of these national leaders in the likes of, say, Trump or Viktor Orban or a Narendra Modi of India or a Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping or hell, Nayib Bukele. These national leaders, like Erdogan of Turkey. Although, Erdogan might be on shaky grounds. Shaky grounds, but not because he didn't try for his people, but because he did not deliver on the war with Israel. So, a bit of a different case there. But you see what these people, these populists, these national leaders, and I say national leaders because, you know, they lead nations, not political factions. When they step outside that box, they're immediately Hitler, Satan, Darth Vader, Megatron. And so, while we don't necessarily know if Jimmy Carrizier is in that category, or if he is just like any other gang leader strong man, and if this will just turn into one giant dictatorship, it all remains to be seen. But that extra perspective sort of helps piece together the gaps in our knowledge, and we'll get more pieces of this puzzle as time goes on, because for all that we don't know, I'm sure that time will reveal all in due time.